Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Austin ISD earns an overall B in the 2022 state accountability ratings. I have a couple of suggestions that might get most of these school districts back to an A. Actually, maybe two or three. TEA released all of this since we were last here. The A through F ratings for districts, and about 54% of them got a B.
That's not all that bad in my book. I mean, obviously, everybody wants to be an A student, but not everybody can be. And the big thing to me, Lynn, here we're coming back from, you know, remote learning as if they remember the days back when you and I would say that's an oxymoron, remote learning. Kids are going back to school in some areas of the country and the state for the first time in 2 years, up to that amount per se. And you know, I'm just glad. I'm going to be happy and encouraged for kids to go back to class and start off the school year on the right foot. And football season, as you've mentioned, is already upon us. It's a great day, a great week, although the roads are a little bit more busy on my commute coming in today. So the wheels of the buses are going to be going round and round. But there you go. You're right, a B.
Well, I'm not making any judgments on this. I'm just stating a fact.
True.
And that is that when we decided, or the courts decided, or however we got where we are, that the schools will educate any child that comes through the doors, we started educating illegal immigrant children.
Oh, yeah.
The illegal immigrant children typically don't speak English, and that gets them behind very fast. And then you have to concentrate on that, and that gets the rest of the class behind.
People need to realize that there are students that live in Mexico and come across the border every day to go to school in Texas. So,
well, I think that
you're talking about something different, but you're right. There are the English language learners.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I don't know. Why would somebody go across the border to go to school?
Because they live in Mexico. Then they come into the United States to go to the school districts down in the United States.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that in as an aside, an extreme example. You're talking about, you're right. In every school district in Texas and most across America, we have what's called English language learners, Spanish-speaking people.
That is what has brought some of these grades down.
Absolutely.
Now, if they want to get them all up to A's, there is one thing they could do immediately get that going.
What's that?
And that is go to total English immersion.
That's
stop teaching kids
idea.
In 250-something languages like they do out in California at Los Angeles.
Literally.
And I'm sure there's a lot of that in Texas as well. When Oceanside, California experimented with total complete English immersion, the test score shot up. But, of course, they couldn't keep doing it because the state wouldn't let them.
And the state wouldn't let them because parents complain and kids don't feel encouraged.
Because it's not politically correct.
You're right, and it's not political. But the results show that there's no better way to learn a language than to be totally immersed
in it. Well, English immersion is the answer to all their problems.
Yes.
And they know that.
Yes.
But it's not politically correct.
They know.
Here's another thing. 1,195 school districts in Texas.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with the A through F system, but it just points out to me. I've thought about how many school districts should we have, and I always keep coming back to 254.
Per counties is
one per county.
Counties there are.
One school district per county. And imagine if we did that, we would save the salaries of about 800 school superintendents.
That's true. That's a lot of money right there.
That's a lot of cash.
You know, I'm speaking kind of slowly because my mind's going wild. That's not a bad thought, Lynn. However, you think about, okay, go to Harris County down in Houston, the nation's fourth largest city, with, 4 million plus people. That would almost be, because we like local government. We like local school districts. We like more accountability. If you're talking about one school district in Houston, that means that most parents, I don't know, would they have the same access to their superintendent and to their school leaders as they do with all these bifurcated? It's an interesting question you read. You were a logical person and raising a very good question.
I live and vote still in my hometown.
Of Temple, yes.
I'm here all week, obviously.
Yes.
Fully immersed in Austin politics.
Wearing your orange here in the football season, I imagine.
I don't have all that much access to local officials. I've never met the police chief in my hometown. I've met the school superintendent one time.
Uh-huh. And you're active, and you get out, and you are not staying at home all day.
I am in the wrong political movement to be an insider in my school district. If I wanted to be an insider in my school district, I would need to be a left-wing liberal.
Are they liberal up there?
They're liberal in every school district in the state. How many of them are there?
But
all 1,195 school districts.
Yeah, about 1,200 is
now,
what I
Now, some of the
say.
Little rural districts, of course, are probably not going to be all that liberal, but essentially, schools are liberal. Do you remember the John Stossel piece we did yesterday?
Yes.
John Stossel said, you tell me where you work, and I'll tell you your politics.
What kind of profession you're in is determined.
And I said, well, that obviously wouldn't work for me. I work in talk radio.
That means
so
you're
guess what? Well, yeah, absolutely. It does mean that I'm conservative. And if you work in a school, if you've been around schools all your life, if academia is your life, you're liberal. I mean, there's almost there are obviously exceptions,
uh-huh.
but not many.
Yeah. Point being, school's back in session. We've got kids back in school to a greater extent this year than they have been the last couple of years. Thank goodness for that. And good luck to all the school children, and boy, good luck to those moms and dads. I'm an empty nester now, but that's a big, big job and responsibility, and the future of our country's on the line.
All right, well, there's some interesting things on the Biden administration that we want to talk about as well. Bill Maher is back to being the old Bill Maher, the old left-wing liberal nutcase Bill Maher.
Oh, he
and
is.
And we'll have some of that for you. Jonathan Carl committed an act of random journalism.
Oh, really?
Over the weekend, I have chased it down. And your favorite morning guy, Joe Scarborough.
Now.
What a weasel.
All right,
we've got some audio from all that. We'll be right back. Talk 1370 is the right choice. It's Cardle and Woolley in the morning.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Sound off on the day's top stories. 512-643-5483.
Well, the feds see American anger over the Trump raid and the insecure border as posing increased terror threats. This is the same feds that believe that the parents up in Loudoun County are domestic terrorists. This is an interesting story by John Solomon, who's an investigative reporter.
Very interesting.
Americans angry about the FBI raid on Trump's Florida estate and insecurity at the southern border pose an increased risk of domestic terrorism. Now, let me make sure you understand that sentence, because that sentence was interestingly constructed, shall we say. The authorities wielding the heavy hand of government bureaucracy is not the problem, the Biden administration thinks. It's certainly not the border being completely and totally open, regardless of what Ruben Navarrete says on our air.
Yes.
It is completely and totally open. That's not the problem. No, the problem with the Biden administration is those of us who oppose those things.
It's so interesting that you and I came to the same conclusion, because what I got out of this is that and you and I have talked about this essentially, the Democrat Party's running in this 2022 election season on issues that make us average Americans out to be the bad guys. That's why we need 87,000 more IRS agents. That's why this type of perspective comes out with a release. Ari Fleischer's been the guy saying that this is the first president, Joe Biden, who's going to be running on saying that the American, it doesn't understand what recession is and doesn't understand what their own family budget is. This is just phenomenal, but it's totally accurate.
Mm-hmm. And a soldier of Allah, I will remind you, just stabbed Salman Rushdie. And then people on social media said J.K. Rowling would be next.
Yep. J.K. Rowling.
Is that raising the awareness of the Biden administration as to where the domestic threat may be coming from? Did the Biden administration notice who blew up and turned over police cars and set fires in an entire summer in 2020?
I was going to say, they couldn't even identify a peaceful protest for their life.
No, but they can't stand it when anybody on the right does anything like that. And I don't like it. I didn't like the Capitol breach.
They're trying to get
rid
of us.
I thought the Capitol breach was a bad thing. It made us look bad. It made conservatives look bad. It wasn't the right thing to do. But on the other hand, it paled in comparison to the whole summer of insurrection,
literally,
which the Biden administration didn't care anything about, and which Kamala Harris was bailing out murderers.
Oh, but wait, the parents of local school boards are the terrorists.
And they're the domestic terrorists. This
exactly.
is absolutely right.
Yeah.
So most of the warnings cited the August 8 FBI raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago compound as a possible motivation for violence. And they cite this guy that attacked the FBI office in Cincinnati, who was an obvious nutcase, and a driver crashed into a barrier with his car on fire at the U.S. Capitol before committing suicide. That sounds like a guy who was severely mentally ill, similar to Anne Heche. So I just think right now I have a government that believes that people who think like I think are domestic terrorists and want to come after me, that has just approve the hiring of 87,000 new federal agents that they can send out to get me whenever they want to.
Who preferably are licensed to carry and willing to be in dangerous situations, yes.
Bill Maher, meanwhile, who is gaining all kinds of respect and admiration from people on the right, they should listen to his latest monologue. It's all about Mar-a-Lago and some right-wing Americans thinking that we are near a civil war. I happen to be one of them. I've never seen this country anything like it is now, not even in the 60s.
Although we do compliment Marr when he says something that makes sense.
Well, but we're not complimenting him today. Here's Marr starting off with the raid, blasting conservatives for talking about civil war.
The really big story this week, the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago. I'm sure you saw that. Well, apparently, I find this hard to believe, but apparently Donald Trump was up to no good. I don't know how it happened. But they say the FBI was tipped off by someone very close to him. So that eliminates Melania. But but yeah, went into his home for 9 hours. Of course, Republicans reacted like they do in Karachi when someone burns a Koran. Karachi's in Pakistan. Sorry, I thought you knew that. Yes, the holy man Donald Trump was insulted. So now all across the right-wing media, it's war. They're literally using this word, civil war, war. There's a right-wing podcaster, I think the name is Steven Crowder, said, sleep well, tomorrow is war. And then tomorrow came and there was no war. Unless by war he means more podcasting.
Well, the day that Trump was inaugurated, the Washington Post said the
impeachment proceedings begin
today.
I've got the article right here.
But what's the difference in us and them?
Us and them being who?
Well, liberals and conservatives. Marr said tomorrow is war, but there was no war. The liberals threatened impeachment.
Yes.
There were two of them, maybe three counting J6, maybe four counting the raid on Mar-a-Lago. And then Marr makes fun of the small crowd supporting Trump out in front of his Florida estate.
There's a dozen people protesting MAGA people outside of Mar-a-Lago. That was their war, the first battalion of the MAGA brigade. Based out of Fort Starbucks. Trump put out a statement, my beautiful home is under siege. Even Lindsey Graham was like, girl, relax. They waited till you weren't home. They went and they got some of your old boxes. It wasn't so much of a raid as a bad breakup. But even though this is about they're saying now, the Washington Post said today, about nuclear information that shouldn't be out there that Trump has. Trump supporters are like, no, this is politically motivated. They say, if you lock him up, how are we going to lock her up?
Well, look, change the passwords. I mean, my bank makes me change my password to my bank account every 6 months. Now, here's Marr.
Codes are probably changed.
Yeah, probably every day, I would think.
Yeah.
Marr goes after Fox and warnings from conservatives.
Like Fox Nation, this is their big thing. If they can do this to Trump, they can do it to you. That's right. Average American. Think twice before you leave the White House with classified nuclear information. But, you know, somebody has to tell these people, this is actually how the system is supposed to work. You know, like when you watch Criminal Minds? It's like that, except real. If you do something wrong, Joe Montana puts it in jail. It's one of the reasons I've never staged a coup. But I think this is what they really were upset about. They got into his safe. They have his safe. And the safe, interesting, Trump's safe. You get into it by facial recognition. Luckily, one of them had a rotting jack-o'-lantern.
I tell you, Lynn Woolley, he did have some good humor in there. He had me laughing a time or two, but this is serious business, and it's because the FBI has been doing it to others just like they have to Donald Trump. That's not laughing matter.
No, and I didn't hear a word about Hillary Clinton. And you know, this is a whataboutism.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes whataboutism is exactly what you need.
Yep.
And in the case of a bifurcated justice system, such as the one we have, whataboutism should be at the top of the list of things we talk about
it's
every day.
Injustice.
Talk 1370, the right choice. Cardlin Woolley will be back.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Well, I admit the Bill Maher monologue was funny. You know, I was tempted to laugh, but I restrained myself.
He had me laughing, but it's serious.
Because it was so one-sided.
Yeah.
How about some comments on her thighness and her server that she had in Chappaqua?
Now, you've got me laughing. The point is, Lynn, is that the FBI is weaponizing the government against American citizens, and he seem to have totally forgotten that. The list is long and growing.
All right, so let's go to Harris Faulkner on Outnumbered yesterday. Ran a little montage, and I thought we'd grab it.
Okay.
And I recognize most of the voices on here. The first one is George Conway. He's speaking on CNN. He's married to Kellyanne Conway.
Yes.
That's got to be a great political discussion every night when they're having pillow talk.
I don't see how.
And then there was
like
some dude on MSNBC that I did not recognize and did not care enough about to look up, but he's the middle one. And then at the end, you've got our old buddy, not fit for human consumption, Stephen Colbert of CBS Television. And here's the montage of how happy they all are that Trump got raided.
I think the shortest distance between Donald Trump and an orange jumpsuit is this investigation with the document.
Perhaps the orange jumpsuit is forthcoming.
I think a lot of people do want to see, you know, Donald Trump, you know, handcuffed like an episode of Cops,
of course,
and walking out.
Perp walk,
so,
absolutely.
Right. We want to see a perp walk Donald Trump, and we may not see that.
It may be hot outside, but in here, it's Christmas. Because yesterday, we all got the present we wanted. FBI agents raided Mar-a-Lago. That's the most beautiful sentence America has ever produced.
Well, that was Colbert acting like a complete idiot, but
what
then he's not acting,
idiot.
I don't think. I cannot stand this man. Yeah. I literally cannot stand them.
And orange jumpsuit seemed to be perp walk.
But they have the glee at this. Look, if Hillary Clinton had been thrown in jail,
mm-hmm,
I guess I would have felt kind of like that.
For what?
Because she was actually guilty of something.
Exactly.
We don't know what Trump's guilty of.
No.
And the government has decided to be very secretive about it. And the DOJ doesn't want to release the underlying affidavit, which I said 3 or 4 days ago. The warrant's not going to tell us much. The underlying affidavit will. And we'll see if they have the guts to put it out.
And that's the big news this morning. Not only do they not want it, the DOJ this morning asked the judge to keep the darn affidavit secret. Why would they not want it public, Lynn? Because they're hiding something.
Well, I don't know. There's two reasons. Again, don't ever have egg on your face. So let's say this. There's two reasons that they could keep it secret. There's something in it that would embarrass them. Or number two, there's something in it that would seriously breach national security.
In an affidavit? I don't know.
But I'm not giving this particular administration the benefit of the doubt.
They don't deserve any benefit.
Because they don't deserve it because of what they've done. When
and
you go
fact,
back and list all the whataboutisms that you can, you go back to the FISA court and Carter Page, where they tried to ruin his life. And what they did to Flynn, and what they did to Roger Stone, and what they did to Manafort, who may have deserved it, but they still didn't have to go raid his house at dawn.
And this was the Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice that just last week held a press conference that said nothing except, we apply the law equally to all. That is exactly the opposite of what's going on here. And you're darn right, the American public has every right to question what's going on.
And they took a congressman's cell phone.
They did.
They've given that back. Apparently, they've also returned Trump's passports.
They did return them?
That's what the network news was saying this
morning. I didn't realize that. I just heard that they took his passports, which is interesting.
So what in the heck is going on here? It's like Biden can do all these weird things, like his Afghanistan situation. Remember, yesterday was the one-year anniversary.
Yep.
And it was so disorganized, according to this story in Real Clear Politics by Susan Crabtree. Mm-hmm. 1,450 children were evacuated without their parents. Senior leaders in Kamala Harris and Jill Biden's offices, as well as one of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, asked private veteran groups for assistance to evacuate some people from the country. More than 1,000 women and girls waited for 24 hours on dozens of buses, desperately circling the Kabul airport and trying to avoid Taliban checkpoints. Many were told multiple times they could not enter the airport. Now, girls in Afghanistan can't even go to school.
Yeah.
And not only that, we lost 13 U.S. service members. 160 Afghans were killed in that suicide bombing at the Kabul airport. And now a report the Republicans have issued, because the Democrats never investigate themselves, that's one thing that is not done, says that Biden may have intentionally misled the American people when they said the fall of Kabul came as a surprise and there was no other alternative.
And this is before, Lynn, this article didn't mention, this is before you throw in the tens of thousands of tanks, of firearms, of military, the best military equipment in the world left there for the terrorists to have. Just go figure that one. You talk about disorganization. This was an absolute abysmal failure and the worst disaster in the American history's, the American military's history, if you believe some.
Well, this analysts. Was the first big Biden disaster. Well, maybe the first was canceling the Keystone XL pipeline and the things he did regarding energy
opening
that have
the border,
started gas prices going up and the border and getting rid of Remain in Mexico.
First day was the first disaster.
But let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a president of the United States whose successes, whose victories are major disasters?
I shouldn't laugh. That's a very
well, because Biden's big
very wise way
Biden's
of putting
big success
it.
Is the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yes.
And that's going to end up in my opinion being one of the biggest disasters ever.
And it's because what he's doing is setting himself up for there to be more inflation as he goes into reelection in 2 years. And did you notice yesterday I had a bunch of feeds that I saw yesterday where the mainstream media is being criticized because they're now not calling it the Inflation Reduction Act. They're calling it the Healthcare Price Cut Act and the this, that, and the other. It's not, they've realized that the Inflation Reduction Act was only for the marketing and the misleading of the American
How about
public.
The 87,000 more creepy government bureaucrats
yes.
to come harass you act?
That's
All right, CBS advisory that we have here. This is the what CBS is saying about the Trump passports that we just mentioned.
Good job,
A
Casey.
Law enforcement source confirms to CBS News that during the August 8 execution of the search warrant, passports belonging to Trump were taken into possession by investigators upon their discovery by a filter team. The passports were returned.
Okay.
So were they changing Trump's oil at the same time? I mean, a filter team?
I mean, on the one hand, it's something that's certainly questionable because he's not going to flee the nation. On the other hand, good for them for correcting their mistake, but it's another example of how government goes awry.
All right, here's what they said. This is a quote. We have learned that the filter agent seized three passports belonging to President Trump, two expired and one being his active diplomatic passport. We are returning them and they will be ready for pickup at WFO at 2 p.m. today.
Ready for pickup? Well, you took them out of the facility. Why not do the decent thing and actually return them? And again, why is the Department of Justice asking a judge to keep the search affidavit confidential? I thought all these folks on the left were for transparency. This is something that's transparent
here. Wait a minute. When did you start thinking that people on the left were fans of transparency?
They say it all the time. Are they not telling the truth, perhaps? I thought that they were, equally applying the
law. I don't
know.
I'm trying to picture or visualize in my mind any government official that's for transparency.
Well, that's a very good point because their job is to protect their turf, not only that, and to grow it. But clearly, Lynn, we are in an absolute mess. I don't understand how this is going to come to a conclusion where the government and the Joe Biden and FBI and the Department of Justice looks like they did something
well,
that was necessary.
Well, it's interesting. Do you think the Republicans have a serious chance of regaining the Senate?
Absolutely.
You think they will?
Absolutely, I do.
You think the House is a shoe-in?
The House is going to be a curb stomp, and by 30 to 60...
I have no such thoughts about either House of the Congress.
Well, I agree with you. I'm hopeful,
but when it happens, I'll be celebrating.
Yes.
I'll do the little Stephen Colbert dance, you know, and do that...
little thing with his
weird-looking thing with his fingers. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, this guy's a freak of nature.
Well, I agree with you.
But until that happens, yes. I won't celebrate it. If it happens, I will renounce the Republican Party with every fiber of my being unless they follow through and do something about this bifurcated system of justice. Put a fork in it, end it, put Hillary Clinton on trial, and if she's convicted, whatever her punishment is.
Hunter Biden.
And Hunter Biden, absolutely. But Hillary Clinton is known, and nobody even disputes it, to have had classified information on her server, and most of us think that it was hacked.
Heck, the director of the FBI, James Comey, laid out the case as such.
All right, latest to come under the watchful eye, should we say, of the Department of Justice is the Southern Baptist Convention. You are all up on that story.
Yes, sir.
So let's tell everybody about it when we come back. Talk 1370. It's the right choice.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
The headline blares it in the Austin American-Statesman. Southern Baptist Convention says it faces DOJ investigation. Holly Meyer and David Crary wrote this story from the Associated Press, actually, and it's out of Nashville, Tennessee. Jim, why is the DOJ or the FBI looking at the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, that's a good question. According to the story here, it says, quote, there was no immediate comment from the Department of Justice about the investigation, but earlier in the article, it details that the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee says it's related to the independent report they had. There has been abuse going on, the Baptist Convention admits, of clergy and staff over the years. They hired an independent consultant called Guidepost Solutions that came out with a 288-page report. The Baptists have said they admit it. They are doing everything they can to correct the situations. They are firmly committed to cleaning everything up. But my point in raising this is another example. The Department of Justice, seems like the Baptists have taken care of the problem or addressing everything. I guess they're looking into whether crimes were committed or not. And that would be something for some law enforcement officials, but I'm just questioning and if it's another example of the Department of Justice and the government being weaponized.
Well,
they're going to go after religion.
That's not what strikes me. You and I both have the ability to pop in stories to the stack.
Mm-hmm.
Casey puts in stories in the stack. It's all a big team effort here.
Yes.
You put this one in.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here reading it, looking at it, underlining a few things, and it reminded me that 9 days ago, I wrote a column and posted it on WB Daily entitled, As Wokeness Spreads to Churches, America Faces a Godless Society.
Yep.
In that article, I wrote this, that the church in America exists for two reasons. Reason number one, to proclaim that there is a God, that he is good, that he has prepared a place for us when we die.
Love
reason
it.
Number two, to serve as a guidepost, to keep us on the path of righteousness so that we do not fall into the squalor of free sex, drugs, crime, depravity, and socialism. And the Southern Baptist Church, by their own admission, has fallen into some of that. And churches need to get themselves right and straightened out. So if the FBI and the DOJ go after them, good on them. I note that churches have strayed from the path of what the Bible says. And if the churches aren't supporting the Bible, they have no reason to exist. I read from a picture I took on February 4, 2017. inviting, welcoming, and affirming the LGBT community. That's you, University United Methodist Church.
Okay.
And a picture I took about 3 days ago, Central Presbyterian Church on Brazos, mm-hmm. has a big sign that says, "Protect Trans Kids." From whom? The Central Presbyterian Church? Churches have got to get back on the straight and narrow and go back and look at what the Bible says. And to clarify my position on LGBT, I believe and would fight for anyone's right to have any kind of sexual relationship that they want to have. What irritates me is churches promoting it.
Exactly.
When it is obviously not biblical.
And that's the thing. I always like to go to the fact that I heard the other day somebody said that God created man in his likeness and image, and man promptly returned the favor is a good one. That's kind of a thought provoker. But a lot of religions, Lynn, are man-made. When you come up with all these doctrines, it's us as human beings playing God. The old adage I quote every now and then, criticize the sin, not the sinner. Clearly there are wrongs here, but even going back to our nation's founding fathers who said the Constitution will work only for a moral population, and that's why a lot of Americans think our nation's going down the tubes is because we're getting away from it, and you documented it very well and precisely there.
All right. Well, I was going to read a line from this column, but it's at WBDaily.com. We're out of time. Our show will be right back in a moment. Talk 1370, Right Choice.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
All right, I'm Lynn Woolley. Jim Cardle is sitting right across from me, being as logical as he possibly can. You know, he's an insider. I'm the cynic here. White House spokesman. I think Karine Jean-Pierre is a female.
Spokeswoman,
Dismissed a question from ABC's Jonathan Carl about the Orwellian name of the multi-billion-dollar reconciliation spending package. This is interesting because a moment ago you were saying that the media is now shying away from calling it the Inflation Reduction Act?
Absolutely, as is the Democrat Party.
And why would that be? That's the official name of it.
Well, maybe it's because it was just a marketing tool to try and, in some people's eyes, including mine, mislead the American public as to the real effects. Analysts have said it's not going to reduce inflation. Bernie Sanders said on the floor of the Senate it's not going to reduce inflation. The Congressional Budget Office has said that it costs more money than anybody else is in the party claiming. So there's.
But Jim, if you lie to me once, criticism. Shame on you. If you lie to me twice and I bite on it twice, shame on me.
Precisely.
I'm not biting on this whole thing called the Inflation Reduction Act.
No.
This thing should have been called the Harass Americans Act.
It's the Build Back Better in light is what it is. It's got
well, but it's
new
not
deal
all that light.
Everywhere.
I mean, look, we have gotten so conditioned now that we think $3 gallon of gas is cheap.
Yes,
we are so conditioned now that we think, hey, we cut this way back from $3 trillion to only about $1 trillion, a little less.
Yeah. As if that's going to be helpful.
I never thought I would live long enough that I couldn't even find a calculator in a store anywhere that has enough places on it or enough room to do this government calculations. They must have calculators that fill up entire rooms.
Yeah, the thing is that when you pour more money, which this bill does, you pour more money into the economy, you're going to cause inflation. And there have been hundreds of economists who have said so, analysts, financial, Wall Street prognosticators, and it's an issue that's going to be coming to fruition and guaranteeing. In fact, inflation continues into the coming years when Joe Biden's up for re-election. So that's on top of the fact that you get a lot of tax credits for buying an expensive luxury electric vehicle. How's that going to help people who are hurting from inflation?
Karine Jean-Pierre was on This Week, and ABC's Jonathan Carl was the host.
Okay.
And so he asked her, he said, well, wait. what about the name of this bill? Isn't that just a little bit of Orwellian, you know, like the Ministry of Truth? And here's how that went.
But let me ask you, it's called the Inflation Reduction Act. But the Congressional Budget Act Office, which is nonpartisan, said that there would be a negligible impact on inflation this year and barely impact inflation at all next year. I mean, isn't it almost Orwellian? How can you call it Inflation Reduction Act when the nonpartisan experts say it's not going to?
So I appreciate that. I appreciate the question. We've actually addressed the CBO. It was the top line number. There's more in there that shows that it will have the money from. Remember how we're doing this, too. It's making sure that billionaires in corporate America are paying their fair share, making sure that that the tax code is a little bit more fair. And so when you do that, when you put it in its totality, you will see that it will bring down, lower the deficit, which will help fight inflation.
So wait a minute now. Who am I supposed to believe? The Congressional Budget Office, which I never believe anyway, or Karine Jean-Pierre, who says, oh, well, there's stuff in there. You know, the CBO just ignored all of that kind of stuff. I'm not understanding this at all. How can anybody think that a massive spending bill is going to bring down inflation when massive spending is the cause of inflation?
Or who can believe that when you add a tax on corporate America of 15%, which is going to get passed on to the consumer, that's going to be inflationary? You know, these guys that run the major businesses, they have MBAs and stuff. They're smart. They know how to pass on a tax increase of 15%, number one. Number two, it's been brought to light that there's between 600 and 700 billionaires in the United States. That's quite a few. So if there's only, let's say, 700 billionaires in the United States, why do you need 87,000 IRS agents?
Well, they're going after us. But look, here's the other thing. You have to look at their language. They're talking about, even Jonathan Carl did this.
He did.
How much impact this will have on inflation. The insinuation there is that it will have a positive impact on inflation at some point, bringing inflation down. Impact can go either way, though. And I think this bill will bring inflation up. So I think that's just
more
crazy.
Government spending. Or
what do you make about the mayor?
Lower inflation.
Mayor Adler has taken on an advisory role with prop tech unicorn.
Isn't that a name?
Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. Prop tech unicorn is not capitalized. Are those modifying words?
Must be, I would guess.
So what is a prop tech? What's a prop tech unicorn?
A one of a kind, elucidatory, yet to be seen.
Two of which were not put on the ark.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's what I thought too. The business model, it helps multiple buyers purchase partial ownership in second homes. The weird thing about this, it was founded by a group of former Zillow executives, and Picasso has sparked litigation in California, where the company is accused of transforming communities into, quote-unquote, adult Disneylands. And that's where Adler's going to work. He's joined the board of this.
Yeah. This company does what? It helps focus on housing and community engagement, according to some of these stories, which would be right up Mayor Adler's. He's evidently a capitalist, and he's going into the private sector and is going to be bringing home the bacon for the Adler household. I still think that a lot of his legacy is going to be the homelessness situation and crisis that wrecked a lot of his term. But, you know, more power to him. I guess we'll see how he perhaps brings this type of California company to Austin and maybe tries to get them to have a little marketplace share here in Austin.
All right, interesting story. Brad Johnson, the Texan. Not that Brad Johnson is a Texan or not, I wouldn't know, but that's the name of the place that ran the story.
The publication.
All right, the suspect in an August 6th Austin homicide was out of jail on personal bonds in two different counties for multiple felony charges when he shot a couple of guys. One's dead, one's paralyzed. The shots were fired after a fight broke out over at East 7th Street, right across the street from the Arch Homeless Shelter downtown. Dionysius Thompson was killed. Josh Noriega was left paralyzed. The suspect is 18-year-old Nathan Neva Ramirez, charged now with murder and aggravated assault. And the interesting thing, when they arrested him, they found he had a loaded Glock more than 2 ounces of marijuana, 44 grams of cocaine, and $8,000 worth of money, and a box of 40 caliber bullets.
Yep. I'm looking at the Austin, and just retweeted the Austin Police Association's coverage of this on the Texas Insider Twitter page. It says, an hour after murdering someone in downtown Austin, Nathan Ramirez was arrested by patrol officers on an unrelated second-degree felony charge for unlawfully carrying a firearm, which was the murder weapon. A mere 2 days later, Ramirez was released from jail. This is what you and I talk about all the time. The police can do their darndest to get...
My name is Jose Garza, and I'm humbled to be your district attorney.
Humbled you should be.
And they just turn them around and release them out the back door as fast as they're coming, faster than they're coming.
Austin Municipal Court Associate Judge Stephen Vigorito granted bail on the condition that Ramirez not possess any firearms or engage in criminal activity. His pretrial for that charge is set for August 26th. Now, he's in jail now under bond, but during that bond proceeding, he was given indigent status. And that is something the Austin Municipal Court prioritizes for personal and low cash bonds to poor offenders. And this is exactly what Jose Garza does. He relaxes bail and sentencing guidelines that his office recommends to the bench in criminal proceedings. But he had been arrested in this perp had been arrested in Hays County on 3 charges, and he was released on personal bond for each.
It seems, Lynn, that common sense and just a smidgen of logic would lead one to say, if this type of person has this type of record and is arrested for another crime, we would want to keep him in jail.
Currently being held on $1 million bond in the Travis County Jail. But, you know, we got a dead guy and a paralyzed guy.
Yep, exactly. We got problems here in Austin, and this is the latest example of it is all.
All right, migration to Austin, migration from Texas to New York. These are stories still on the board here. Talk 1370 News Time 870.
Your daily recommended allowance of logic. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in. 512-643-5483.
All right, things are flaring up a little bit in Mexico. There is stuff going on down there with the cartels. Stephen is on top of it. And Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, last Thursday they had some pretty heinous acts of violence committed against citizens of Mexico in Juarez and in down in... the one right by San Diego.
You will remember when we interviewed Ruben Navarrete about a week ago, he was upset at Trump and called him a racist for saying Mexico was a hellhole country. Is this evidence?
Well, it's getting pretty bad down there, and I think that the cartels may be actually working with the Biden administration to make things worse so that they can declare that Mexico is a country that needs to be fled from, and they can't stop people from Mexico because 150 other countries are funneling through Mexico.
Yes.
Now it's going to be the citizens of Mexico, which are fleeing for their lives from all the chaos which is flaring up in their country.
Okay, but I'm pretty well convinced that Biden's an idiot. You're saying he's an even bigger idiot than I think he is.
Oh, I don't know if it's so much idiocy as it is criminally stupid.
Well, wait a minute. What would be the end game for the Biden administration to destroy the United States?
I think that's been their plan all along.
Well, he's doing a really good job if that's what he's trying to do.
They're gonna tear America completely down, and they're gonna try to rebuild it. But I think what's gonna fail with their plan is you're gonna have hordes of starving people because they are maliciously jeopardizing our food supply and our energy supply, and you're going to have a lot of unemployed, starving people who are amoral. They're not really regulated by a sense of right and wrong, and it's going to lead to a revolution which makes the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror and all of that look like a child's tea party.
Yeah, this is the thing that scared me more than anything about this open border, Lynn, is that you've got hopefully plenty of average human beings fleeing for a better life, but you've got criminal elements. I think we're up to 56 of the number of people on the terrorist watch list that have been captured. But these are, as Stephen says, these are people who have little to no morals. They have no problem with committing crimes or murder, for instance. That's what we're talking about. I even saw that there were three or four or five radio station employees shot, and they were setting convenience stores on fire in Guanajuato, just south of California. These are bad actors, bad people with criminal records, and it's why Americans are so concerned about there being an open border more than anything else, especially down on the border. People even of Hispanic nationality and descent who are Americans down on South Texas's border, they are living in fear, and it's coming to Austin. It's coming to other cities in America, thanks to Greg Abbott busing some folks up to New York City and Washington, D.C. Heaven forbid that anybody up in the nation's capital realize we got a problem, because it's real.
Andrea Guzman in Austonia is talking about migration to Austin, bringing wealthy out-of-towners along with high-income prices, and that it's starting to cool down. I'm not sure that either one of those things is news, but it's interesting. I mean, yeah, people come here from California all the time. I look at the license plates on the cars in front of me when I stop at a red light.
I saw and Rhode Island and Vermont last week. A little bit.
Well, you'll see those, yeah. And there's a lot of California license plates.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you come here from a super expensive state,
yep,
and a super expensive metro, let's
yep,
say San Francisco, for example, mm-hmm, or San Jose,
mm-hmm,
and you come here because Meta is moving you over or Google is bringing you in to the Silicon Hills from the Silicon Valley,
mm-hmm,
and you had to pay $1.5 million.
Yeah.
For your house out there, and you can buy a similar house here for under $1 million, then that seems pretty cheap to you. But it's not in accordance with salaries and income in Texas for most people.
And the interesting thing to me is that now that we're getting out of the pandemic shutdowns, what's happening in the business environment in the workplace is that a lot of these high-end employees, these, as you're mentioning, well-paid corporate executive types in technology or other industries, they are still working remotely, which means they can move to another state with lower costs. And how this all is going to shake out and how many people actually come back to the office, how many people still do the remote work, you're darn right we're going to see some people moving with their feet when they can pay lower taxes in Texas. That's the big motivator. And have lower expenses. No doubt it's going to happen.
You know who David Paterson is?
The former mayor? Or
former governor of New York.
Yes.
Yeah. Something he said just really struck me.
Who was blind. Yeah.
It's in this story by Jack Morfitt, Joshua Rhett Miller,
okay,
out of a New York Post. And they're talking about in the story dozens of more migrants from Texas arriving on a bus in Manhattan. This happened yesterday morning while we were on the air. Several getting off, donning iconic American Athletic apparel. I didn't see any Longhorn stuff, but New York Yankees and a Michael Jordan jersey. A charter bus from Dallas arrived at the Port Authority bus terminal about 7:15, marking the latest relocation of asylum-seeking border-crossing migrants from Texas to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing that I thought about this, and it made me smile, and trust me, I'm on my rant prevention medication right now.
Okay.
So I'm, you know, try not to go there, but this did make me smile. Some 31 migrants arrived in the city on Sunday. Former New York Governor David Paterson said he was impressed by Abbott's political maneuver. Quote, "The governor of Texas has come up with one of the most brilliant political strategies I've heard in a long time."
Amen.
He said on WABC. He said, "I'm a Democrat, and there are a lot of things I don't like about what he is doing. However, sometimes you have to tip your cap to your opponent. It has paid dividends to him politically. In addition, it has put New York's Mayor Eric Adams in a position where he can't say he won't accept the immigrants."
Yeah, New York City's a sanctuary city. They ought to be welcoming and providing all the funding and finances and benefits of New York's liberal welfare state. You left the studio early yesterday, Lynn. Dan Patrick was on Fox News. I stuck around to watch it, our lieutenant governor. He said that Del Rio has a population of 35,000. They've had 10 times that many come across the border. How can Del Rio handle it? And yet New York City's complaining about a few thousand.
Well, they've got an old hotel down on Times Square somewhere, and they're going to go all Austin on us. They're going, it'll hold maybe 600.
A homeless hotel.
Homeless. Talk 1370, the right choice. Back with Sandy Kress after these words.
Keeping Austin logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
All right, the last half hour of the Cardle and Woolley show as school gets back in session this week across the state, certainly across the greater Austin Metroplex, and the Cardle and Woolley show's the only show you'll ever need in the morning, as we like to say. Evidence of that is our next guest, Sandy Kress, is a former Dallas ISD board chairman. He also was a senior advisor to President George W. Bush on education issues, has been involved in politics his entire life. Sandy Kress, appreciate you joining us. And TEA's come out with their first A through F accountability ratings yesterday morning. What's your read on it, sir?
Good to be with you. I'm laughing because the cynical side of me is coming out, which is not a good thing for a wonderful morning here. It's incredible, unbelievable. The report is unbelievable. Think about this. We had, we had students in 2019 taking the state test. Mm-hmm. This is before COVID. And presumably they were, well-educated and doing well and so forth. And they took the test and they got the results. Then we go through COVID with all the dislocation, people not getting educated, people not going to school, students not learning what they need to learn. Horrible, horrible. And we see across the nation learning loss, this phrase learning loss, and it's serious. Students falling behind, not getting what they need, so forth and so on. The TEA reported this week that students in Texas, particularly in third grade, let's just use third grade as an example,
okay,
improved over 2019 in reading. That is just not believable. In other words, students who went through all of the COVID in kindergarten, first, second, some didn't show, some weren't educated well on computers, blah, blah, blah. We know all about that. How can anyone believe that students and schools did better in 2022 than they did in 2019? It's not subject to human reason to think about that. Now, the commissioner comes out and says that they did some pretty good things, and they did. In reading strategies and so forth, largely last year, and it probably caused some improvement at the edges. Maybe it will over time, but there's simply no way that it caused such improvement. Maybe there was improvement over 2021. That stands to reason. But and in math, there was no real improvement. But in reading, in 2022, gains over 2019. So you may be thinking, and I'm prepared to go there if you want to, how in the world did they get that? How did they do it? How did they pull off this magic stunt? But they did show that, and it's just not credible.
Sandy, it looks like there was about 26 districts that were D, no rating, and 16 that were F, no rating. My question is, will the state take over those D and F districts?
Well, here's the deal. I don't know. This is another interesting thing. They chose only to give out A, B, and C ratings.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give out D and F ratings. So what do educrats do? What happened here in Austin? We have several schools that were given Ds and Fs in the previous rating, and now all of a sudden they're given Bs and Cs, and the district's crowing about it. Well, they're crowing about it partly because of course they're crowing because there were no D's and F's given.
Mm-hmm.
No D's and F's given, which, of course, makes it a lot easier to get an A, B, or C if there are no D's and F's given. But what's worse, and I do want to get there, is that something happened here that made this test, and I'm not ready to make a charge because I don't know the facts well enough. In fact, I do want to say here, and maybe this is newsworthy to some, the TEA really needs to release these tests as soon as possible. And they need to show the innards, what was really done, the standards, the performance standards, the items, the kinds of items that went into this. The TEA has a bad record on this, even though the press didn't report it and the legislature didn't look at it. But in 2019, that year I talked about a moment ago, in eighth grade reading, there was monkey business done to that test.
Mm-hmm.
And there should have been an investigation of it. When I say monkey business, performance standards were relaxed, made easier, made students look better. You might say, well, how do you know? Well, we have this thing called the National Assessment of Education Progress, which is supposed to keep the states honest.
The NAEP.
The NAEP. And the NAEP showed in 2019 that we dropped in eighth grade reading, while Texas showed we went up in eighth grade reading. Well, I entirely trust the NAEP because it has a record of consistency and alignment and honesty. It's there. Lots of resources going into making sure that it's that you get the right results.
And perhaps some objectivity as well.
Oh, yes, Sandy, exactly. I'm looking at the news release that the Texas Education Agency put out. And you're right about giving out the A, Bs, and Cs, but they did give the NRs. And we had 26 of those NRs, which is no rating, that would qualify for a D if they were giving Ds. And we had 16 no ratings that would qualify with an F if they were giving out Fs. And this is actually, back in 2019, there were 14 Fs and there were 43 Ds. So actually we went from 43 to 26 and I'm kind of in the same state of mind you are. How is that even possible?
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how it's possible. And remember, we're talking about kids here who had years, two or three years of difficulties, shall we say, or
challenges.
Inadequate education because of COVID.
Yep.
Okay, so they're doing better somehow or another than they did in 2019 when they had no COVID experience. So how does it happen? Well, some of the ways it happens is you have fewer test takers, and the fewer test takers, and we did, and the fewer test takers, the test takers who aren't showing up or who aren't taking the test are poor achievers.
Mm-hmm.
That tends to make the average go up. That's one explanation that seems pretty clearly part of the picture. But what they did in 2019 on the eighth grade reading is you make the performance standard easier. And now we'd have to see. I'm just saying this is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to look at this. This is what the legislature ought to look at. This is what journalists ought to look at. What were the performance standards? In other words, if you set the bar lower, more people are going to jump over it. And that's something they've done in the past. Another trick that can be done is that the items are easier. So that and that there are more easy items on a test than there were in the previous administration. So that you get more items right. These are some of the games that can be played by states and that have been played by states. And it's the reason why you ultimately either have to look inside and see what they've done or wait for the NAEP test to come out and confirm or be inconsistent with this. I'm betting that when the NAEP results come out, we're going to see, again, inconsistent results. This ought to be infuriating to taxpayers and the parents.
Sandy, I'm betting here that when it comes time to vote on these bond issues, of which multiple school districts have, including the city of Austin, theirs is a very expensive bond, that they will crow about this. So my question is, will the Austin American Statesman or the Texas Tribune or some other quote-unquote journalistic publication do some research into some of these things you're talking about and tell us if this test was simplified so it could come out better?
I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on it. The history is not good. There's no record of any questioning on this in the past. For example, that 2019, I know for a fact that there was something done with respect to performance standards in 2019. And the NAEP results give enough rise to you know, to the strength of that position when it showed exactly the opposite result. Now, did anyone cover that, guys?
Yep.
Did anyone cover the fact that in 2019 there was such a wide difference in NAEP results and state results on eighth grade reading?
Mm-hmm.
When Texas was crowing about all the improvement in eighth grade reading, then NAEP comes along and says, no, Texas, you did not improve. You went backward in eighth grade reading. There was no coverage, gentlemen,
yes,
of this back then.
What last question?
No track record to believe that they'll cover it.
Sandy, I agree with you. I think journalism is pretty much dead, especially in print media and online newspapers that are headquartered in Austin, Texas. But let me ask you this, and this is my own surmising. I'll see if you agree with me. But with the borders as open as they are under the Biden administration now, I think that it's going to get tougher and tougher to teach kids as more kids come into the system that can't speak any English at all. I think that's their big problem.
Well, that is a problem. That is a challenge. But, you know, Texas has had immigration in years past. Nothing like this. Granted, nothing like this. But, you know, we've managed to have up and down. We had a lot of years of up, even with immigration, back in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had downs in the 2010s when we had the wrong policies. I think this is going to be, your point is well taken, this is going to be an extraordinary challenge, and I think it's going to be harder and harder. But I don't know what I don't know what they're going to report, because it looks like there's some folks, or there's somebody, or there's something in there willing to create things that game the system, that game the results, so that regardless of what's going on, maybe they don't show up to test.
All right, folks.
Maybe they're not given a test.
We're visiting with Sandy Kress. You can follow him on Twitter at Kress_Sandy, a national education expert, former White House official and advisor on education. Sandy, let me ask you a final question. The big news of the last couple days, or the last week, it was announced this morning that the nation's schools are short 300,000 teachers, number one, and number two, that 50% of those surveyed teachers say that they are thinking about leaving. You've got the poor performing students not taking the test. That's one factor. Now we may have some of the best teachers leaving. That's going to impact the results. What's your read on the state of the teaching industry?
Well, you know, we've had this problem for a long time. That is the idea that there will be fewer teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've managed to find them and to get good teachers. And I think we still can. But it is interesting to me that the morale is so low.
Yes.
You know, people said when we put accountability in place that morale was the highest.
Mm-hmm.
Morale was the highest when we had standards and accountability. Now we go into this period where we have low standards, low achievement, low accountability.
Wokeism.
Wokeism. And all of a sudden, teacher morale is down. It does worry me. It does worry me, and it could add to the kinds of problems we've got.
All right, Sandy Kress, thank you, and very informative and a great discussion. We'll have you back on next time we have a big school issue, sir. Thank you.
Love to do it.
Thanks, Sandy.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. We'll be right back.
You know what? I think we're running out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and have you stop right there.
It's time for Cardle and Woolley's News to Know.
Come on, go.
Before you go.
Here we go again.
All right, a couple of quick things. Senator Graham, that would be as in Lindsay, has been ordered to testify in the Trump probe in Georgia. I swear, there are so many Trump probes, and yet they never get him. And then, Jim, we learned that the Overture, this is an airliner developed in Denver, Boom Supersonic, is going to bring back supersonic travel. Interesting thing about it, it's not near as fast as the Concorde.
Okay.
You could go from New York to London in 3 hours on the Concorde.
Yes.
And it still has that big supersonic boom.
Yes.
But it is a lot faster than current stuff. For example, Los Angeles to Sydney right now, 15 hours. With Overture, 8 hours.
Wow.
And Tokyo to Seattle, current travel time, 9 hours. Overture travel time, 4 hours, 30 minutes. So it's not the Concorde. and it's all it all runs on vegetable oil and all that, you know, so it's all politically
it's
correct.
It's lighter, faster, United Airlines, Japan
what
Airlines.
What about Biden signing that bill today?
Yeah, Joe Biden's coming back from riding his bike on the beaches of Kiowa Island in South Carolina. News reports are that he's going to sign the Inflation Reduction Act. Be on the lookout to see if it's called the Inflation Reduction Act.
Okay, this hit me pretty hard when I saw it this morning, and it happened Saturday. I did not see it until this morning, so my apologies for not having this for you yesterday. Before Roosevelt Leaks, before Earl Campbell, there was Steve Wooster. And when I went to the University of Texas, he was the fullback at that time in that amazing Daryl Royal wishbone.
Yes.
And I made a list of the big running backs that started while I was there. Ted Coy, Jim Bertelsen, Billy Dale. Jim Bertelsen was out in the audience one night when I was doing my music over at Dobie Mall.
Really?
And Steve Wooster. And the TV guys thought that the Longhorns were getting booed. They would hand off the ball to Steve Wooster, and the crowd would go, woo, woo, woo. And then the network announcers had to pick up on that. They thought they were booing at first.
And these guys were big.
But Steve Wooster has passed away at the age of 73. And
in the NFL for the Rams, yeah, I think.
Absolutely. Those were the days. By the way, the college football rankings are out.
Yes.
And Alabama is number one, Ohio State number two, Georgia number three. The Aggies weigh in at number six.
I mean, it's the best leg in ball.
And when you get down here and you look at this, just a couple of quick things. Texas comes in at 27, but that's ahead of Penn State. That's ahead of Iowa, and that's ahead of LSU.
Where'd the summer go? It's already
so
fall
pretty
football
amazing.
Season.
Might mention that five members of the new reformed Big 12 are in the top 25.
Ah.
Isn't that something?
Strong league.
Well, it will be. That would be, of course, after Texas and Oklahoma leave. That'll put the plug in the jug for today. Lynn Woolley saying be logical, and remember, you're either an insider.
Or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.